KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky, 65 degrees in Atlantic. We look for scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, a high of 82. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with a check of state and local news. In state news, Republican Senator Joni Ernst kicked off her bid for re-election in 2020 this past weekend.
You and I both know that this fight isn't over, and there's more work to be done to push back on the coastal liberal insanity to stand up for Iowans.
Ernst held her fifth annual Roast and Ride fundraiser starting Saturday morning with a 49-mile motorcycle ride from Des Moines to Boone, then a barbecue Saturday afternoon at the Central Iowa Expo grounds. She spent much of her half-hour speech in Boone criticizing the Democratic presidential candidates.
Can I count on your help to stop them? That's right. I knew you would.
Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, who served 2 years as President Trump's ambassador to the UN, was the event's keynote speaker.
We need all of you to go out and become part of Joni's campaign. It's going to be a competitive race. Iowa's always competitive. We can't take anything for granted.
Ernst's 2014 race against Democrat Bruce Braley was the third most expensive in the country, topping $85 million. Ernst told reporters she's hoping her 2020 race isn't that expensive.
I know that this is an important seat that the Democrats would love to have back, but I'm going to make them fight for it, and they are going to fail.
Three Democrats have announced they're running for their party's nomination to face Ernst in 2020. Ernst did not mention her potential Democratic competitors Saturday, but other speakers at her campaign kickoff did. Republican Governor Kim Reynolds mentioned Eddie Morrow and Teresa Greenfield by name.
There may be more, and I'm sure they'll all compete to see who can run the fastest to the left.
Ernst campaign officials said they sold about 1,000 tickets to Saturday's event. In a written statement, Iowa Democratic Party Chairman Troy Price said, while Ernst spent Saturday, quote, reaffirming her support for Donald Trump's extreme agenda, Democrats spent Saturday holding organizing events throughout the state to prepare for 2020. Torrential rain this spring prevented most Midwest farmers from planting their crops, but while the federal government provides help to growers of corn and soybeans, those who grow specialty crops are largely on their own. Although the lack of federal security or safety net programs for farmers who grow everything from arugula to zucchini isn't new, one of the wettest springs in U.S. history has focused attention on the special status of commodity crops, primarily corn, soybeans, cotton, rice, and wheat. Iowa organic farmer Andrew Dunham shrugs at the situation, noting that there are no federal bailouts for vegetable farmers. Iowa State University economist Chad Hart said crops like corn and beans are treated differently because they're so important to the national economy, and shortages would be painful, particularly to the livestock industry. The deadline to apply for assistance from FEMA for the flooding in the state began that between March 12th and May 16th is now about 2 weeks away. Spokesperson Deanna Frazier said the deadline is July 1st for those who live in the counties that have been declared a federal disaster area.
Woodbury, Monona, Harrison, Pottawatomie, Shelby, Fremont, and Mills counties. And then over on the eastern side of the state, there's Scott and Louisa counties. So that's a total of 9. And so you must live in one of those 9 counties in order to register for FEMA assistance.
Frazier says some of the people have already applied.
About 2,300 have registered with FEMA for assistance. That's, you know, nearly 2,300 families that are reaching out saying we need help.
She says many of the applications have already been processed.
FEMA has approved about $13.3 million going directly into the pockets of survivors here in the state of Iowa to help them in their recovery efforts.
And she says the funding is available for several things.
Rental assistance to help those families who've been displaced from the disaster, and so they are no longer able to live at their primary residence and have been displaced and now have to pay rent at an alternate home location. We can help them with up to 18 months of rent as long as they stay eligible. We also help with grant money to repair the home, as well as grant money to help reimburse for some personal property.
Frazier says some people in the disaster area may have been so busy that they have not applied for FEMA help.
You know, FEMA is not first and foremost in a lot of people's minds when they're just dealing with things, trying to get through day to day. And we do understand that, but FEMA is part of that puzzle to help them recover. And they can do that in one of three ways. They can call us at 1-800-621-FEMA. They can go online to disasterassistance.gov, or they can download the FEMA app.
Phasia urges is anyone who has not contacted FEMA who needs help to do so before that July 1st deadline. And data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, shows Iowa set a record for rain and snow over the past 12 months. The Des Moines Register reports that the state saw nearly 51 inches of precipitation from June 2018 through May of this year, and that's about 16 inches more than the 34.42 inches of the state average per year from 1981 to 2010. State climatologist Justin Glisson said the past 12 months have been the wettest since 1895, the year officials began keeping weather records. He says Iowa can expect more rain as temperatures increase this summer because higher temperatures create more water vapor in the atmosphere. The USDA's Midwest Climate Hub in Ames is predicting higher than average rainfall for most of this coming summer. In area news, the Guthrie County Sheriff's Office Sunday issued a statement of thanks to two, quote, good fathers for their assistance during incidents that took place on Saturday. At around 3:10 p.m., Guthrie County Emergency Management Services and law enforcement were dispatched to Jones Cove on the west side of Lake Panorama for a medical emergency on the water. Upon law enforcement's arrival, the injured or ill party and their vessel docked at a nearby dock, and an unknown off-duty doctor was rendering aid. Bystanders were also rendering aid, and they included Iowa State Athletic Director Jamie Pollard and his two sons. The injured or ill party, whose name was not released, was transported by Panora EMS to the Guthrie County Hospital for treatment. Authorities say Pollard and his sons displayed very Iowa nice courtesy to the injured or ill party, her boatmates, and emergency services. Pollard, they said, even offered to personally drive a Guthrie County Sheriff's deputy back to the marina to his patrol car. Authorities say that Mr. Pollard should be proud of his sons, and his sons should be proud of their father for how they stepped up and helped another in need. The second father profiled on Father's Day was Dr. Narasimha Sim Palagumi, MD of the Iowa Clinic in Urbandale. At around 3:41 p.m. Saturday, Guthrie County Emergency Services were dispatched to the Raccoon River Valley Trail south of Yale for two injured bicyclists. The bicyclists were participating in the annual Baccoon Ride and were injured in a freak accident when a large tree branch fell across the trail, seriously injuring both riders. In the middle of a severe thunderstorm, which included strong winds, heavy rain, and nickel-sized hail, Dr. Sim, as he's known, was riding in the event and identified himself as a physician and offered to help. He proceeded to render critical aid, not leaving the side of the two injured parties, despite rain and hail, and Dr. Sim disregarded his own comfort and safety to help others. The injured parties were transported by Panora EMS to the hospital in the Des Moines Metro. Dr. Sim's profile on the Iowa Clinic website says he's a Hawkeye fan and father of two, including taking in many foster children. The Guthrie County Sheriff's Office said they would also like to thank the employees of Coulter Marine for transporting one of their deputies across the lake for the first medical emergency. Sheriff's deputies in Montgomery County on Sunday arrested a Pottawatomie County woman wanted on a Pott County warrant for failure to appear on a possession of a controlled substance methamphetamine charge. 31-year-old Jerry Diane Shoemaker of Council Bluffs was taken into custody at around 2:30 p.m. Sunday. She was a passenger in a vehicle that had been stopped for speeding and was being held without bond for the Pottawatomie County. Police in Red Oak Saturday night arrested 63-year-old Stephen Matthew Turnbull of Red Oak. He was taken into custody for public intoxication and held in the Montgomery County Jail on a $300 bond. And authorities say an Iowa man accused of killing his former girlfriend's parents in Nebraska has killed himself in a Nebraska prison. The Nebraska Correctional Services Department says 36-year-old Brindar Jangir was found unresponsive in his cell around 2:30 a.m. Sunday. Earlier this month, a judge had ordered Jangir to undergo a mental competency evaluation, and he was being held at the Lincoln Correctional Center. Jangir was charged with two counts of first-degree murder in connection with the March 23rd shotgun deaths in Lincoln, Nebraska, of 56-year-old Randall Grimes and 51-year-old Annette Grimes. According to documents, that Randall and Annette Grimes were the parents of a woman that Jangir was living with in Sioux City until she moved out March the 12th. The affidavit said she told officers that Jangir threatened to kill her and her parents if she ever left him. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.